Welcome to Hockey Night in New York, where Islanders hockey always reigns supreme. Whether you were raised at the barn in Uniondale or born in the stable at Belmont, Hockey Night in New York is your home for all things Isles. Now, let's drop the puck and get this party started.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Hockey Night in New York. Welcome to the program, everyone. It is Thursday, April 18th, 2024. Coming to you live from Floyd Media in Rockville Center. Big playoff show coming up for you tonight. Mr. Corey Lavalette of the North State Journal will be joining us to talk Carolina Hurricanes because the New York Islanders are facing off against the Carolina Hurricanes in round one of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. My name is Sean Cuthbert. With me, as always, is Mr. Stefan Rosner. Stefan, how are you?
Did you say playoffs?
I did.
Playoffs?
We're here. We made it.
Not to toot our own horn here. Got that expression right. We did call this. We did call this. Did they make it?
We did.
To be fair, I did say Pittsburgh was also going to make it. Apologies, was wrong on that. They were close, but you know.
We did call some audibles later in the season. But yes, early on, we did predict they would make it. Yes, and they're in. Roller coaster season. We're going to talk about how they got there. But yeah, we got bonus hockey for the Islanders. We'll see how long they're able to ride it out. But yeah, rematch of round one against the Carolina Hurricanes. So we are excited to talk about that. But before we do, I want to tell you all about our wonderful sponsors, starting with Blue Line Deli and Bagel. Satisfy your hunger at 719 West Jericho Turnpike in Huntington and 217 Carlton Avenue in East Islip. Check out the menu at BlueLineDeli.com. Also proud to be sponsored by Main Street Board Game Cafe. Find your crowd and unplug your game at 307 Main Street in Huntington Village. And proud to be sponsored by Razor and Kniff Attorneys at Law, ready to fight for you. Check them out at RazorandKniff.com. That's RaiserKenniff.com for a free consultation. And if you're hanging out with us live in the chat and you want to ask us a question later in the Questions Brewing segment, just type Questions Brewing, then your question, and we'll answer it. So there you go. Pleasantries out of the way. Stefan Rosner. Playoff hockey is on the way. There's a couple of Western Conference games that still have to happen tonight. But for all intents and purposes, the Islanders are there. They kick it off Saturday at 5 o'clock, game one in Raleigh in Carolina. How did the Islanders do it? How did we get here?
Well, they had more points than the other team that didn't get in. That's the first thing.
That's true.
And it's
That's true.
It's kind of a similar storyline to last year. We talked a lot about how bad the Islanders had January. It was an awful month last year. But every other team had a bad January, allowed the Islanders to stay in it. This year, same thing. They fall off. They make a coaching change, obviously, that does impact things, but they fall off other teams also, and they got hot at the right time. That's really what happened here. They had a six-game winning streak, six-game losing streak, and said, you know what? Let's go 8-0-1 to finish out the year to get in. And
why not?
And they're in the playoffs.
They are. They finished third in the Metropolitan Division with a record of 39-27-16. Good for 94 points, as you said, 8-0-1 in their last nine to end the season. And one question I want to ask you, because I was kind of fooled by that six-game winning streak, saying, okay, they finally got Patrick Waugh's system. They're good to go here. They're going to ride this all the way into the playoffs. They eventually did, but there was another downturn. Obviously, they followed up with another six-game losing streak. So now that they're on this 8-0-1 run heading in to the Stanley Cup playoffs, has Patrick Waugh's system finally taken hold? And can Islander fans be a little more confident going into this series that they're going to be as ready as this team is going to be to play the Hurricanes?
Yeah, and I think the certain things they've changed, first off, they understand what Waugh's preaching, but also discipline. Taking the least amount of penalty minutes in the league. And
that helps,
lately, I mean, when you have a penalty kill that's struggling the way their PK is struggling, you got to stop putting them in bad spots. We've talked about this. But also, they started to win when Waugh stopped messing with the lines. Now, he jumbled a lot of his lines, but putting Cizikas on that top line, Waugh said, I should have done that sooner.
Right.
Him with Horvat and Barzal has made that line much better.
Mm-hmm.
You have Fasching or Holmstrom on the second line. Engvall, Lee, and Pageau. I think Lee's in a perfect spot for where he should be.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle McClain continues to impress every time he's out there.
Yep.
Also, defense-wise, I know Dobson's not there right now. We'll talk about Dobson in a little bit, but they're showing up their play, especially in front of goal. You're seeing a lot of backdoor passes or passes to the slot get picked off. And breakouts happening from that point. So I think they're playing much smarter hockey. Again, discipline's a huge thing. But I do think the lines and keeping them the way they are and letting them get on a roll, I think that's been the biggest thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And they have been meshing really well. And you can't say enough about Kyle Palmieri under Patrick Waugh, exploding for all these goals. Hits 30 goals on the season. First time, long time for him.
First time,
I think
long time.
2015-16, I think, was the last time he had 30 goals. That matches a career high for him. And he's one of those guys that really show up in the playoffs, too. He's a guy that they're going to be relying on. And I love that combo with Brock Nelson. And they have Hudson Fashing there now. I'm sure that's what they're going to go with heading into the playoffs. And I like that combination as well. So, yeah, look, the names aren't as flashy, even against Carolina. And you look at the rest of the teams that are heading into the dance here. But we've seen New York Islander teams in recent history make it work, right? The system is pretty much at the forefront as opposed to the names and the talent. It's basically win by committee.
Yep.
And we're going to find out if they can do it under Patrick Waugh and if Patrick Waugh can kind of catch his own lightning in a bottle like Barry Trotz did with the teams he had going to the conference finals.
And Waugh's never won a playoff series.
Fact.
So that's a big thing going into this, but I just want to go over some stats quickly.
Yeah.
The Islanders under Waugh, 37 games, 20-12-5, 3.05 goals per game, 2.89 goals against, power play 17.6%. The PK's still been bad, 69.1%. They end the season as the worst PK in the league.
Sweet.
Behind Anaheim. But Palmieri, like you mentioned, in 37 games, he had 19 goals.
Yeah.
Barzal 23 assists. Barzal led with 34 points in 37 games. But like you said, it's going to be committee. This team is going to rely heavily on their depth because we'll get into the Carolina Hurricanes in a second, but they know they play the Barry Trotz style defense that suffocates you. That's a little more aggressive where you don't have a lot of room in any zone and they jump in off the rush. So that's the biggest thing for the Islanders to go against is this defense. But that's when, you know, your top guys are being manned by the Pesci's and the Burns. You got to get to that bottom pairing, get pucks deep, get behind them, and go to work against those guys because there's not many weak links in this Carolina Hurricanes team.
For sure, and you talk about depth and lineups and all that. Do we have any update on Noah Dobson? And obviously, Jean-Gabriel Pageau ends up leaving the game early the other night. Any updates there?
Yeah, I'm not a doctor.
You know, you say that every time.
Yeah,
you don't have to tell us anymore.
A lot of school, but Dobson was back on the ice skating on his own on Wednesday morning.
Okay.
Now, we don't know if he had skated previously on his own. That's just where we saw him.
Mm-hmm.
Credit to Arthur Staple. He's the one that tweeted it out there.
Okay.
I do think, you know, when he leaves the game against Montreal, he gets hit. You know, we thought maybe it was a slash on the arm, but then he gets sandwiched on a hit. Maybe it was his back. Maybe it's just tweak something. I think having over a week to rest is smart. They didn't have to play him. In theory, if they had lost the Ranger game and then lost out, could they have missed the playoffs? For sure.
Yeah.
But I think the Islanders felt comfortable with who they had, putting in a Bortuzzo or an Aho, that, you know, Dobson wasn't going to make or break their season.
Mm.
So they give him rest. In terms of Pageau, we don't know. It's undisclosed what his injury was. Watching the replay, he gets tangled up with Riley Smith in front of goal. Looked like he banged his right knee or his knee got twisted. You have to think they took him out of the game for precautionary purposes. There was no point.
That's the hope.
Putting him back in. And if he's out, you know, it's tough, but it also allowed for the debut. Well, not, I guess he could have made his debut regardless. He was there anyway. But Ruslan Ishakov makes his NHL debut.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, it's we're going to call him Rusty.
Okay,
Rusty,
I like
on
that.
This show.
Sure.
He makes a debut because the Islanders are resting certain players, but in theory, he's played center before. If they need to, could he play in a playoff game? I'm not sure. I don't know if he's ready to be in playoff-style hockey.
I don't think he's first option.
No, probably not.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But I know Wall liked him in the game, liked what he did, played him with Nelson and Palmieri. That could be a line next year as him as the left winger there. But
sure.
Yeah, again, depth, those injuries, you need Dobson in the playoffs if you're going to make it work. Yes, the power play was struggling with Dobson there, but you see how much that that power play struggles to break in and everything. When it was absent, you saw it immediately that, wow, they don't have Dobson. It looks weak. And Pageau, I mean, I think Pageau on the last stretch of games there, last 8 or 9 games, won 70-something percent of his faceoffs.
Yeah, because we touched on the middle of the season. We talked about how his numbers had dipped.
Yeah.
And I think he finished with around 55%.
Yeah, he went on a tear in the faceoff, and which is huge. Those are the things in the playoffs that gets overlooked is, again, first off, numbers don't matter anymore.
Correct.
I spoke to Anders Lee, and I said, you know, when you got into the playoffs for the bubble and you got in last year, you guys weren't hot going in. I said, now that you're hot, what does it mean? He goes, it means nothing. We weren't hot going into those. We made it to Eastern Conference Finals.
Fair
point. Fair point. So numbers don't matter. But in big moments, we need a big defensive zone draw, things like that. When the Islanders are losing their games, Horvat wasn't coming up with it. Pageau wasn't. But when they're winning their games, especially the empty net goals at the end of games, they're winning those deep zone draws where in the beginning of the year, they'd lose those, and then they blow the lead.
Right.
Or they try to go for the empty net, turn it over, and blow it. So faceoffs are vital in the playoffs, which is why guys like Pageau are important pieces.
Yeah, no doubt. And before we break, let's just glaze really quick just to recap the games here.
Yep.
Monday, get the 4-1 win in Jersey. That's the one that clinches the playoff spot. They came out and did what they had to do. They played against a team who's been struggling all year, who we thought we were going to be better. We talked all about that with Ken Danico last week. And the Islanders took care of business. They got up to an early 2-0 lead, and they never looked back. They
special
gave one up. Yeah, they got a power play goal. But yeah, they had a 2-0 lead, and they didn't allow a tying goal for the remainder of the game. So we are seeing trends changing for the better a little bit for this team. Trends, yes,
brought that indeed. Word back.
Yeah, why not? But they get the win, they clinch, and I think, thankfully for everybody in Islander country, that rendered Wednesday meaningless for the Islanders. And even better that it became meaningless for Pittsburgh because they got eliminated, because they might have been playing a little bit harder. And, of course, somebody ends up getting hurt anyway, but maybe two guys get hurt or something like that.
And the whole Jeff Carter thing, too, which was cool.
Yeah,
Jeff
very
Carter
cool.
Jeff Carter retiring
very
like classy. 19 years in the league, and the fact that Crosby sets him up for a goal.
Right.
He said that he got put on the ice, Sullivan put him on the ice, and he just said, I'm not leaving the front of the net.
That's
and
awesome.
And, of course, you know, to get a pass from Crosby to end your career, I don't think you'd script that any better.
Yeah, not
I mean,
better.
For
all.
Sure, making the playoffs and going on a run.
Probably would have been better.
Might be there, but if right. it's going to end in the regular season, that's one way to do it.
Right, and you get to see Rusty, as you brought up. Patrick Waugh, like you said, he liked what he saw. Wallstrom got into a game. Is that his last game as a New York Islander?
Probably.
We'll see.
Bolduc played well.
Bolduc?
Goal and assist.
Carefree hockey.
Yep.
You know, let's see him do it in games that mean something, but at least he got in there. And, of course, Kyle Palmieri getting fed all night, finally gets that 30th goal, so that was cool to see. So there you go. Two big wins. Well, one big win, one win that means nothing, but it's nice to ride into the playoffs coming off a feel-good win. And the Islanders are in the playoffs, and we got to take a break. So, folks, want to thank you all for tuning in to twitch.tv/hockeynightny. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk Carolina Hurricanes.
If you're an Islander fan, there's nothing like a big win, a tasty meal, and great company. And Blue Line Deli and Bagels provides all that and more. Owned and operated by diehard Islander fans, Blue Line Deli and Bagels happily serves Bagel Boss bagels and a full menu of delicious food and beverages. Whether it's breakfast favorites like pancakes and omelets, specialty heroes and wraps like the Hat Trick and the Hip Check, or fresh-made coffee and smoothies, Blue Line Deli and Bagels has you covered. So stop on in to the flagship location at 719 West Jericho Turnpike in Huntington, or the new spot at 217 Carlton Avenue in East Islip for their familiar friendly service and the best food around. And don't forget, you can always check out the menu and order online at BlueLineDeli.com or pick up the phone and call 631-944-3222. Blue Line Deli and Bagels. Our goal is to make you a hero. Thanks for giving some time to our sponsors. Ready to talk more aisles? The train rolls on right here on Hockey Night in New York.
That's right, folks. The train rolls on here at Hockey Night in New York. And joining us on the line right now is Mr. Corey Lavalette of the North State Journal covering the Carolina Hurricanes. Corey, thanks so much for joining us tonight. How you doing?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. You're talking to Sean and Stefan. So big first-round playoff rematch here, Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Islanders. Maybe we can just start by you talking about the season that the Carolina Hurricanes had to get them to that second spot in the Metro.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird start to the year, to be honest. You know, some goaltending trouble, some guys having a tough time adapting to the way the Hurricanes play, and a little bit of shuffling around on defense that finally settled in. But once they found their footing, I think Carolina was what they've been the past three or four seasons, just a kind of a ferocious forechecking team. Their defense is so good. Their goaltending came around, and I think they have two guys, and you know, you all have the same situation up on Long Island. Two guys you can rely on in net, and that really has been the story of the season. Has been that this is kind of the same old Hurricanes. It's just that Seth Jarvis took obviously a really big step this year, and then you go at the deadline and get two really big pieces, particularly Jake Guentzel. It's a powerful looking team right now. One I'm sure Patrick Waugh is looking at and trying to find answers for ahead of Saturday's game, but it should be fun, and it's kind of neat. This is, you know, third time in 6 years that these teams are playing, and we'll see how they match up this time.
You mentioned the goaltending issues. Now you're getting Guy Anderson back. He's looked pretty good. Just what have you seen from him so far, and are you expecting him to get the start and goal for game one?
Yeah, we asked Rod about that today, you know, how he'll go with the goaltending. You know, there's been a lot of talk out of Boston that they're going to rotate their goalies, and Rod said today that's on the table. Whether or not he really believes that remains to be seen, because he's made it pretty clear in the past he wants, quote, a guy, not that he minds going to the other guy. But yeah, I think Freddie was in the starter's crease today. That's usually a pretty good indicator, the way they're practicing ahead of a game, even if it's, you know, a few days out. How he's going to go. I think it's going to be Anderson. I've been just really surprised with how well he's played since he's come back. He's looked as good as he's looked as a Hurricane. Obviously, a few seasons ago, he was, you know, fantastic and just really, really solid. And, you know, we named him team MVP for that season. And then had, you know, the injuries last year, but came back in the postseason and was really good. So I think he's the guy. And then we'll be curious to see how that goes over the course of the series. And I think the same is true on your end is you know, what will Patrick Waugh do? Unless he suits up himself, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like we're probably going to see more than just two goalies in this series. But until that pans out, we'll find out. But you talk about trade deadline acquisitions, and you look at Guentzel. And I know the experience here on the island, you look at recent guys that they picked up, such as even going back to J.G. Pageau and Kyle Palmieri. It took those guys a little time to kind of mesh with the squad and start putting up points. And for a couple of those guys, it took them to the playoffs to really start showing up. But you have Guentzel come in here, and it looks like off the bat, he really just gelled with this team, and he's putting up points left and right, and it looks like he's going to be a real weapon for this team. It's going to be a lot to handle for the New York Islanders. Maybe you can just speak on how he just came into this team and fit in so well.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm as surprised as you are at just how well he's fit in. This is a little bit, you know, especially defensively, a little bit different system than a lot of teams play with the way they play man-to-man, and guys can look lost for a while. You know, Brendan Lemieux came here, and obviously he's not the same level of player as Jake Guentzel, but it took a half a season for him to look like, you know, he knew where he was supposed to be. I think the big thing with Jake is that he's such a, you know, a grinder with skill. You know, he kind of is like a Sidney Crosby light. You know, he plays a lot like Sidney Crosby, where you don't think he's just getting by on skill. You know, everything he's getting, he's kind of deserving of. And that's kind of what the Hurricanes do, right? Is everything is about effort. There isn't a whole lot of guys coming up the wing and beating a goalie for a goal. There's a lot of grinding, a lot of shots, and a lot of chaos. So the way he fits into how they play, I think, has made it such a smooth transition for him. And that top line is just a bear right now, and it's going to be tough for any team to really handle. And they're not the biggest three guys in the world, but they all play bigger than they are. So I'll be curious to see, especially once we get to UBS, what Patrick Waugh does as far as how he wants to match against that line, because it's definitely a handful.
Yeah, I think he just wants to have the Islanders stay out of the penalty box. I think
that's priority number one. But
I wanted to ask you about, on the flip side, is Kuznetsov. Not a lot of points. I think 7 points in 20 games. What have you seen from him since he's come over?
He's definitely had his moments where he's been really good. I think that the combination of him having not played for a long time and then coming in, and I think there was a point where he played, you know, like 7 games in 12 days after having not played for quite a while. You know, that's a lot when you think about, you know, this is a guy who's, you know, he's 30 and he's, you know, so he's not a young legs guy anymore. There's plenty of tread worn off his tires, but there's still those flashes of just him being an elite passer. And with the depth they have, I mean, right now it looks like he's going to be centering the fourth line, which is just, when you think about it, pretty staggering,
right?
That you can put somebody like Kuznetsov on your fourth line. And the thing that to me that is neatest about him is just what a refreshing personality is. He is really, really easygoing and funny. And I think he's the kind of guy that in the playoffs you might need when the tension can get tight. He's really loose and obviously just incredibly skilled. We all know what he did in the Caps run to the Cup final. So.
Yeah, no doubt. And Corey, you know, you look at this team, depth everywhere, added firepower, solid defense, good special teams, defense is excellent, Freddie's playing good in net. Where's the weakness for this team? What's the weakness, if anything, that the New York Islanders are going to have to try to expose of the Carolina Hurricanes, or are they just built from top to bottom to be a Stanley Cup contender this year?
Yeah, it's going to be tough for the Islanders. I think there are ways to beat the Hurricanes, and I think over a 7-game series, teams can adapt to the way Carolina plays and the way Carolina kills penalties. It seems like there have been times in the past where when a team's power play really gets rolling, the Hurricanes have had trouble with that. But that's been against teams like Tampa and Boston and the Rangers, teams that have those elite power plays. Now, the Islanders certainly have, especially, you know, Matthew Barzal and Bo Horvat are both excellent, you know, power play guys. And Noah Dobson has really blossomed, I think, into one of the better young defensemen in the league. So that's going to be a key for the Islanders. And then, you know, Carolina's power play hasn't really been good ever. with the exception of a few years ago, they had a pretty good season. But this year, they're excellent. And I know the Islanders have had their struggles on the penalty kill. So that's going to be essential for the Islanders, is can they get the goaltending? But even more importantly, if your penalty kill is not good, your goaltending can only do so much. So they're going to have to stay out of the box. And obviously, when they do have to kill penalties, they're going to have to find a way to do it.
Well, good news for the Islanders is the penalty kill cannot get worse at this juncture of the season.
I mean, you can say the same thing about the power play, honestly.
That is fair. But, Corey, I want to ask you about
real ringing endorsement.
About Jesper, I'm just saying. Yeah, you know, keep it real on this show. Jesper Fast gets hurt again on Tuesday, upper body injury. I know he's doubtful to practice tomorrow, but do you have any idea of if he'll be ready to go for game one, if this is more of a maybe missing the entire first round? Just any update you have?
I was a little surprised that Rod said that he was possible to even practice tomorrow, because it didn't look good the way he crashed into the boards. And I heard that, you know, maybe it was pretty serious. So we'll see what happens with that. I guess it's, from what I understand, it's not a concussion. So that's I guess a positive, is maybe he can work through it rather than, you know, that's something he's dealt with in the past. The good news is you take him out of the lineup and Jesper Kotkaniemi comes in and you're not losing a whole lot as far as talent is concerned. Now, Fast is a great, really one of those players who doesn't make a mistake. And the Islanders have a few guys like that too, that, you know how to play the right way. So losing him does hurt at even strength and on the penalty kill. But I think they'll be careful with him. You know, they knew they were going to need depth. You know, I think everybody knows that you need to have depth in the postseason. And just unfortunate. You hate to see that for a guy who, you know, you play the whole season and you're really playing. You know, the Hurricanes knew that they were going to be a playoff team, I think, when they came into the season, unless things went totally off the rails. And then to get hurt in game 82 is that's a tough blow.
Yeah, for sure. And you just look at the fact that you have this rematch coming up here, the back-to-back, and you see that even the disparity in the teams last season, it still went to a game 6, it still went to overtime, it very well could have gone to a game 7. Do you think that the gap between these two teams has narrowed, or has it widened going into this playoff series?
You know, it's hard to know with the coaching change. I think that Patrick Waugh's pushed a lot of the right buttons. I think he's opened things up a little bit. That's maybe made the team a little more vulnerable as far as what they give up. But at the same time, you know, the goaltending there at times can be absolutely best in the league. You know, we know what Ilya Sorokin's capable of. And then Semyon Varlamov has had just such a fantastic season. You love to see a veteran guy who came in and he knew he was a number two goalie, and for him to have the year he had, just really impressive. I do think that the gap has widened, especially when you consider that Andrei Svechnikov is around this year. Right. He wasn't last year. And then you see the guys they added, the Jake Gensels, the Dmitry Orlovs, guys like that. So I think the talent has widened. But in the NHL, I don't even know how much that matters, right? Momentum is such a big thing. Chance is such a big thing. You know, I think any team can beat any team in a 7-game series. So I think everybody tries not to punch their ticket too early to the next round, because every team's dangerous.
You talk about Varlamov, a veteran goalie that's had a great year. Obviously, Antti Raanta had a very tough year. As someone who's covered this team for a little bit here, you know, how tough was it to see him go through his struggles?
Yeah, you know, the worst part about that is he's maybe the nicest guy in the NHL. Just an absolute stand-up guy, and just one of the most pleasant people you'd ever meet. And then he came back from that hiccup earlier this year and actually played well. And then it was just a numbers game, right? Frederik Andersen comes back, plays really well. Spencer Martin was really fantastic, to the point that Carolina, you know, gave him a new 1-year contract, a one-way deal that will pretty much solidify him as the number three for next year. So it was tough. But at the same time, you know, he's finishing up the season with the Chicago Wolves. He's there if you need him. And if something catastrophic were to happen and Andersen and Kochetkov were both unavailable, I would not be surprised to see them go to Raanta over Spencer Martin, as far as you know, you're our number one guy going forward, because we've seen what he can do, especially at PNC Arena. He's been lights out there his whole career with the Hurricanes, and it's a little heartbreaking to see, you know, maybe his career in the NHL ending this year on this tough note, because like I said, really one of the kindest, nicest guys I've met really in hockey.
You mentioned Seth Jarvis before. He took a major leap. Just, was it a confidence thing with him? Because I picked him to be a breakout player this year, and I'm glad that it worked out and he's had a good year. But what have you seen in his game that's different this year as opposed to last year?
You know, I wrote a story for The Athletic a few weeks back about, and I compared him to Tiger Woods, where, you know, Tiger Woods came on the scene, won that Masters by, you know, a record-breaking amount. And then he totally rebuilt his swing and then became the most dominant player in golf. Now, Seth Jarvis isn't going to become the most dominant player in the NHL, but they rebuilt his game from the ground up as a kid who did anything he wanted in junior, you know, scored when he wanted to, had the puck on his stick all the time. They had to teach him, like, this is how you play defensively, and he bought in 120%. And that's really the big thing. He's first over the boards on the penalty kill with Jordan Staal. That's their top forward pairing. He's on the first power play unit. Like I said earlier, he plays a lot bigger than he is. Just a feisty player, doesn't mind getting to dirty areas, and really just a really fun to watch player, and fast and skilled, and has that finish around the net. He is an absolute handful. And to make that jump from going to scoring, I think, 31 goals in his first two seasons to now scoring 33 this year, he's a star in the making. And the timing, maybe not the greatest for the Hurricanes with him being an RFA after this year, because, you know, he's really set himself up for a really big payday.
All right, Corey, it's prediction time. How deep does this series go, and who comes out on top?
Well, I don't want to disappoint your listenership.
No, be honest.
I think we're probably looking at like a gentleman's sweep here. I think probably five games.
Okay.
Well, you know, I think the Islanders are going to manage to win one, but I think there's too much depth there. You know, when you look at what the Islanders are going to do with a fourth line compared to what the Hurricanes are going to roll out as a fourth line. And then the depth on defense. I mean, the Hurricanes are really, you know, they've got five guys who are probably capable of being top pairing defensemen. And then Jalen Chatfield is one of the more underrated guys in the league, I think. It's going to be a tough haul for the Islanders. But, you know, like I said, it's the NHL. You know, if Columbus can sweep Tampa Bay, then,
right,
then you know, this isn't that kind of underdog matchup, but that's how I see it going.
And as a follow-up, how deep do you see the Hurricanes going this season? Do they come out of the Metro? Do they come out of the East? Where do you see it all going for them?
I think they're the best team in the East, top to bottom. You know, the addition of Gensel has made that top line one of the best lines in the league. Like I said, their defense, their goaltending, they've got two guys that they count on. You know, I see holes in the Rangers. You wonder about guys like Artemi Panarin. Can he step up in the postseason? He hasn't done that in the past necessarily. So there's, you know, there's question marks there. I think obviously they're going to get a big piece back, it looks like, with Hedl playing, but again, anything can happen, but I really like their chances. And then it's going to come down to if they can make it to the Stanley Cup final. I think the West is pretty stacked, whether it's Vegas or Dallas or even Winnipeg, the Avalanche, all those teams have some amazing talent. I don't know. I'm just happy playoffs are here.
Yeah, no question about it. It's going to be a lot of fun either way. But Corey, excellent stuff. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us, and enjoy the playoffs.
Yeah, look forward to seeing you guys, whether it's down here in Raleigh or back up in Long Island for games 3 and 4.
Thanks,
absolutely,
Corey.
Take care. All right, folks, that
anytime,
Corey Lavalette covering the Carolina Hurricanes for the North State Journal. So a little insight into the Carolina Hurricanes, what the Islanders are up against, and we're here in five games.
You made a great point that I wanted to touch on.
Yeah.
Here is, you talked about the coaching change. Mm-hmm. Now, if you remember last postseason, Brendan Moore outcoached Lane Lambert in seemingly every game.
Mm-hmm.
You think Waugh's going to let any coach outcoach him?
He's certainly going to go down swinging, if anything.
He might get outcoached in certain games, but Waugh is going to make as many changes as he needs to make in games to not let that happen.
Well, we talked about that very thing last week. You brought it up, where he is not shy about making changes on the fly, maybe even changing something that works.
Yeah.
He might go with a feeling, you know, just go with his gut and say, you know what, I'm going to switch these lines up, or I'm going to take this guy out of the lineup and put this guy in. He hasn't been shy about doing that. So I think we're going to see a lot of that from him. And it's going to depend on how the series goes, right?
Yep.
Because if they come out to a lead, maybe they win the first game, maybe Waugh, you know, kind of leaves things alone a little bit. But if Carolina starts getting the edge, then I think he's going to be the type of guy who's quicker to the trigger than Lane Lambert was, for sure.
There were times last year where the same things were happening. You asked Lane, again, not a knock on Lane. This is what,
look at the power play.
But you trust, you know, a coach is hired because the GM believes that he's going to make the right decisions at the right times. And I'm not knocking Lane for going with his gut. He should go with what
he believes. Yeah.
Unfortunately, when your gut doesn't work, a lot of the times you got to make changes.
Well, again, going back to the power play, I mean, it was dreadful in the series. And what did he wait till game 5 or even 6 to switch
it up? It was the last game before Dobson got taken off.
Yeah.
So they went 82 games in the regular season. Dobson missed, what, 4 games with an upper body injury or something?
Yeah.
But
sure.
Every game Dobson played, he was the power play one. Quarterback struggled mightily, and it took until Game six, which they scored, I believe that was their only goal on the power play. I think it was game six, or maybe it was one of the games at Carolina. I can't remember. But Aho, baby wrist
right,
shot,
yeah, yeah.
Palmieri deflection. I forgot what game that was. Mm. That was their one for 18 on the power play in that series. That was it. Basic shot from the point. Sometimes that's all you need. I talked to Aho about it the other day, and I said, with how good their PK is, if you're out there, you have to do pretty much what you do. And he goes, yeah, we're take as many shots, just quick wrist shots as you can, and try to find a hole.
For sure. And before we go to our next break here, just real quick, I mean, you look at that series, and it was tight. I mean, yeah, it ended in six games, but a lot of those games were close, and you remember, I'm sure all the memories are flooding back now with the blown calls.
Yep.
And remember that freak goal that went off of Aho's stick or something like that,
yes.
Right? He swung his stick, and it ends up going back towards Sorokin, and he can't handle, and it goes in. And that was in a tight game. Like, there were games that the Islanders lost that could have went the other way if not for, you know, one bounce this way or one bounce that way. So it's not like the Hurricanes really took it to them in that six-game series. But as Corey pointed out, it looks like maybe the gap's widened a little bit talent-wise. I mean, you just have to acknowledge that. I mean, they brought in some big guns here, and I think the scary thing for the Islanders is you know, with Anderson going the way he's going, they didn't have that last year. The goaltending was a question.
They had Raanta, who was shaky. Yeah, he was good in the first couple mm-hmm. of games, but it was clear that they had to make a move. But then you also, too, the gap is definitely widening, because last year the mm-hmm. Islanders were the better 5-on-5 team. And we know how good the Islanders can be at 5-on-5 when they play exactly right. How Wild wants to. That being said, like he mentioned, that top line for the Hurricanes,
yeah.
You're trying to think in your head, okay, which line's going to match up? It's not going to be the Horvat, Barzal, Sezikis line. Or it could be,
well,
but...
Well, the truth is, 5-on-5 is going to take the Islanders as far as they can go.
Yeah,
in these playoffs, in this series. Yeah. I mean, because we already joked with Corey about the special teams. Unless there's a miracle, and you never know. Maybe they start clicking. Maybe, you know, the PK continues to improve as it has. Maybe the power play starts putting the pucks in the net. But as far as we know right now, it's 5-on-5 or die, really.
Which is why it's so important to stay disciplined. But also, too, like, numbers don't matter anymore.
Yeah.
So the penalty right. kill just has to focus on one kill at a time. Also, goaltending is going to play a huge part in the PK, because we saw how bad Sorokin was on the PK. Again, not his fault, but wasn't rising up to bail them out on the PK. Whereas Varlamov, since they went to him in that big game against Florida, I didn't look at the PK numbers. We have to think that his save percentage on the PK is much higher. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
Exponentially higher. And that's a huge thing in a big moment where you need your goalie to make a save on a breakdown on a PK. You know, Varlamov has been red hot. So it'll be cool to see Varlamov if he does start, which I believe
I don't know how. He is starting. You never know.
But him versus Anderson, that's going to be a great, for them being as hot as they are.
Yeah.
Hopefully this break doesn't, just from a goalie standpoint, hopefully this break doesn't cool any of them off. It would be catastrophic for the Islanders if Varlamov is cold after waiting. You know, he didn't play obviously on Wednesday, and that was a thought we had. You know, do you rest players? Do you want to keep them going? But this could be a really good goaltending matchup.
We're going to find out. But before we do, you're going to find out about Main Street Board Game Cafe in Huntington Village on Long Island's North Shore. Games for sale and for open play. Food and drink, beer and wine, fun. And friends, bring the magic of phones down, eyes up, tabletop board games to your family. Our staff will help you find the right game, from old favorites to the hottest new releases. We have everything from strategic to easy party games. Get off your screens for a night your family will remember. Looking for meetups to join? Our Magic the Gathering, Dungeons and Dragons, Lorcana, and organized play communities are welcoming for all. We also do parties and corporate events. Located at 307 Main Street in Huntington Village, go to mainstboardgamecafe.com for more information. Main Street Board Game Cafe. Find your crowd. Unplug your game. And now we're going to take one more break. Thanks for tuning in at twitch.tv/hockeynightny and all your other favorite streaming providers. We'll be right back.
Attention all artists, storytellers, and creators of all kinds. It's time to make your content stand out above the rest. And Floored Media is the place to make your visions become a reality. Maybe you want to elevate your podcast and add some video, or turn that novel you wrote into an audiobook. Or maybe you just need the right space to produce your daily vlog. Whether you're a seasoned veteran or just starting out, and no matter the project, Floored Media has the professional facilities, exceptional staff, and intimate atmosphere to breathe life into your creative passions at every step of the process. If it's engineering, production, live streaming, or post-production, you name it, Floored Media does it all. Conveniently located in the heart of Rockville Center and only a 30-minute ride from New York City on the Long Island Railroad, your creative incubator awaits. Go to floredmedia.com for more information and email contact@floredmedia.com for packages, rates, and availability. Hone in on your unique voice and start your project with Floored Media.
And now, it's time for What's on Tap. A look ahead at the Islanders' upcoming schedule.
That's right, and this one's an easy one, folks. The Islanders will be playing the Carolina Hurricanes for at least four games, maybe more. But we do know that it all starts Saturday at 5 o'clock. We're still waiting to find out when Game 2 is. And if a little birdie that told me something is right, then Game 3 is going to be Thursday. Game 4 is going to be the following Saturday, and we don't know when the
Shawnee
other
bomb,
be.
Right,
yeah, then. a little bit. Yeah, every once in a while, I get a little nugget here. And
if you're right, we praise you. If we're wrong, we just forget about it.
Listen, you know where I am on Twitter. You can tear me to shreds if it's wrong, but I think I have it on pretty good authority that it's going to be Thursday, Saturday. And like I said, if I'm wrong, it happens. What are you going to do?
But the Hurricanes are up next.
That's right. Talk about it.
I want to shout out Isles Den on Twitter. First off, does a great job with his account, but he did a huge research, a huge extensive research on everything with the Hurricanes. He is a diehard fan, and I give him a shout out because I got some of this stuff from him here. So I'm going to quick rundown of the Hurricanes and how their season went.
Yeah.
Third most points in the NHL, sixth in faceoff percentage, tied for sixth fewest in 5-on-5 goals against, second ranking power play goal in the league, first in PK, least amount of hits in the NHL. Jeez. Which probably means that they have the puck on their stick, not because they're not physical. Most amount of missed shots. We know the Hurricanes love to just, we saw it last year in the playoffs, they just love to throw pucks at the net.
Yes.
Least amount of blocked shots. Again, they're not allowing a lot, so that's probably why they're 16th ranked amount of goals at 5-on-5. Outshot opponents 39 times most in the NHL. 59.1% shot attempt percentage most in the NHL. So they've had a great year.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I don't know if these stats are saying that. I'm saying there's a chance because numbers are numbers, and we'll see how it goes. But the biggest stat I remembered here is just the amount of shots that they throw on net.
Those are the numbers of a one seed.
And in theory, I agree with Corey, by the way, that this team is much better than the Rangers. And I'm not saying that to knock the Rangers. We know the Rangers 5-on-5 gets ridiculed for being so bad. It's not so bad, but it's for a team that's winning the President's Trophy. They're a middle of the pack 5-on-5 team that does a lot of their damage on the power play.
Right.
Look at the Hurricanes. They do a lot of their damage on the power play. They do a lot of momentum building on the penalty kill, but they're also a very good 5-on-5. Like, they are the complete package.
Right.
Why you asked your question.
Right.
Like, I would take the Hurricanes over the Bruins, over the Rangers. I would take them. I agree with Corey. They're the best team top to bottom, I think, in all situations.
And I think anybody you talk to leading into the potential matchup between the Canes or the Rangers, most people in Islander country were saying, give me the Rangers. Now, sure, there's the entertainment factor, and, you know, there's a wild card factor of just a Ranger-Islander series where you throw everything, you know, off the books or whatever. But I think there was some legitimacy to people, just Islander fans and Islander people, being more confident in winning a series against the Rangers versus the Carolina Hurricanes because, again, to your point, like, just a top-to-bottom complete package, searching for a weakness here. It's not going to be easy going here for the Islanders. I mean, look, it never is, and the odds are always seem to be against them. Predictions always are, and listen, they should be. There's nothing that you look at on paper going into this series that tells you, oh, yeah, this is the Islander series to win. If they're going to do it, they're going to have to find some of that magic that they found in the Barry Trotz years where they're a cohesive unit, coming together, preventing goals, and being opportunistic with theirs, and we'll see what happens.
Even though they got swept by the Hurricanes under Barry Trotz.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know, I remember that. Round two. Oh, yeah.
What I will say for the fans that just heard us do all this and now want to jump off a building, the Panthers on paper were never going to beat the Boston Bruins last year. The Boston Bruins were the best historical team in the entire NHL ever.
Yes, that's fair.
Again, the Panthers, though, found it within themselves. Now, we obviously know the Panthers last year.
They had a much better-looking team on paper. Like, they should have been a better team standing-wise last year.
Well, I was just going to say, they clearly weren't the second wild-card team.
Not many people are saying the Islanders should have been a better team standing-wise this season.
That's for sure. Yeah. I'm just trying to give some optimism because we just made it. You know, we made it a go-get-tissues and cry a little bit. But, yeah, this is, again, tough matchup. That being said, you find a way to beat these guys?
Listen, the opportunity's there, and Corey was right, and it's cliche, but anybody can win a playoff series in the NHL at any given time, and it really just, it's just a matter of certain things clicking. And yeah, the Islanders got to stay the hell out of the box.
Yeah, they cannot be spending real estate money.
That's the key, and maybe, again, maybe the penalty kill does continue to look better than it did in the end of the season here, but it's not something that they can rely on. And they're just going to have to be disciplined. And, you know, it's funny. It sounds like I'm taking a stab at him. But, you know, there isn't a Scott Mayfield in this series that's going to take penalties that he's kind of been remembered for in recent history here. It doesn't mean nobody else in the team is capable of taking penalties, but I mean, this is just something they're going to have to be aware of, where, you know, if a guy gets a step on you, your first instinct can't be a hook or a hold or a trip, because, you know, you're going to end up in the box. And for the majority of the season this year, a foregone conclusion, if the Islanders went on the penalty kill, it was more than likely going to be a goal against.
Yeah, and on the flip side is if your penalty kill is going to struggle and you're going to allow goals, your power play has to find a way to come through in a big moment, because
one or the other, you
look at the series last year, and again, I think the gaps widened, but I think the Islanders outscored the Hurricanes 11-10 at 5-on-5. These are very close games. They were very close games.
Yeah.
You score a power play goal and another extra two power play goals, that series probably goes 7, but you go 1-for-18. You know, that can happen. Numbers don't matter for sure. But if your penalty kill is going to struggle, and we know that their penalty kill is very good, and he just said that teams find a way to exploit that, the Islanders have to find a way to get the power play going, because they know that if they do take penalties, not even if they kill the penalty off, the effort it's going to take to kill the penalties off is going to tire out the PKers, which of course impacts 5-on-5. So they get power play chances, especially if it's early in the game. Last year, I remember the PNC, the puck drops, the noise is ridiculous, and then Aho, I believe, scores about 3 minutes in on the power play, and the place goes nuts. And at that point, it's you're in trouble. So I think for the Islanders, scoring first is obviously key in all these games, but getting the power play going early in the series might be more important than getting the penalty kill going.
No, for sure. And I'm sure we're going to have plenty more Isles Canes to cover in Questions Bruins. So unless there's anything else you specifically want to mention now,
no, I think we're good.
We can go into Hero of the Week. Ladies and gentlemen, when you hear this song, that means it's time for the Hero of the Week, brought to you by the Blue Line Deli and Bagels Half Price Hero, which this week is the White Whale, featuring chicken cutlet, gravy, onion rings, bacon, and fresh mozzarella on a toasted garlic hero. Stop on into the Blue Line Deli and Bagels Huntington location, mention Hockey Night New York, and get half off the White Whale. So, Stefan Rosner, we're at the end of the season. Now, you can do a Hero of the Week, maybe even a Hero of the Season if you want. You can do both. I mean, whatever you got for me, buddy.
You're
but give me
hero.
Something. Wow, man.
Not really. All right, Lou Lamoriello is my hero, and I have a couple of reasons.
Just drink.
Drink your non-alcoholic Pepsi cherry stuff. No, I think we've all talked this entire year how Lou doesn't get credit that he deserves, blah, blah, blah. But look how key the Mike Riley acquisition was. Look how key their Bortuzzo one was. Obviously, Horvat last year is still carrying over. That's had a great effect.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to talk this week, especially what Lou did. Two things. One, he signed a college free agent by the name of Marshall Warren. This guy is from Laurel Hollow, New York.
I never heard of him, and I never heard of that location before in my life.
So I didn't know where Laurel Hall was, but it's on Long Island, and this kid is a diehard Islander fan.
That's cool. I saw the photo.
Grew up a diehard Islander fan. He played a couple years, I believe it was up, I'm looking up here because I have to cheat, sorry. A couple years at Boston College. He was the captain his final year at Boston College, then transferred to University of Michigan.
Okay.
Again, undrafted free agent, but a diehard Islander fan, and that's not something Lou has to do.
Sure.
But I was reading the article. I think Rachel wrote it. Islanders social media and Islanders media. There, he is a legitimately diehard Islander fan. He is so happy to be part of the organization. So
okay.
I think that's really cool. Again,
that's awesome.
You don't have to sign these players free agents. Maybe he pans up. Maybe he doesn't.
Sure.
I do think that he's the replacement for Robin Salo. He's a very mobile offensive zone defenseman. He likes to get below the dots. And Robin Salo is a pending free agent. I cannot see any situation where he stays here. So I think this guy fills in nicely.
Do we have any idea what Robin Sala was doing in the bridge this year? Because I don't.
No, I don't.
Okay, that's fine. You cover the New York Islanders. That's fine.
Yeah. The second thing, though, is Ruslan Ishakov.
Nice.
Getting the call up. Again, this does not have to have happened. Mm-hmm. But I think Lou looked at back-to-back AHL All-Star appearances, a young kid who is a pending RFA.
Mm-hmm.
There were rumors that he was going back to the KHL. Now, I spoke with his agent, Dan Milstein, who said that his goal is to play in the NHL.
Okay.
The rumors spread, and he didn't say it exactly this way, but everyone was saying that he was going to play for CSKA Moscow this summer. That's what he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
He played his developmental hockey with CSKA Moscow, which means with the way it works there is that they own his rights. So if he does want to go to the KHL, he has to play for them. And I think that got kind of, hey, listen, it could still happen. But they call him up, gets into an NHL game, 5'9", played a couple years at UConn.
Okay.
Then went back to Europe. He suffered a major injury at UConn, if you remember.
I remember that, yes.
Bad injury.
Goes
to Europe for a couple of years. Actually played growing up with Romanov on a team. It was really cool. I spoke to him after the game and I said, you know, I heard he played. He goes, yeah, you know, we didn't make the first team he wanted. We didn't make the national team. We eventually made the national team. Now we're in the NHL together. Like, this is crazy. So he has, you know, a familiar face in the room. I bet he knows Sorokin as well.
Mm-hmm.
But again, 5'9", and he's a small guy. Played 14-11. Got his first NHL assist, secondary assist on Samuel Bolduc's goal. Watt trusted him enough to play him with Nelson Palmieri, and he had this one quote. He's small, but I don't think he knows that he's small. Because he doesn't play as if he's nervous to get hit. Now, we saw him get hit. He got lit up in the neutral
zone. You were nervous for him to get hit.
I was nervous. I mean, I'm 5'9", and I wouldn't get up. Then again, I don't play professional hockey. I don't know how to work my edges. But this is a kid that's, I mean, this is cliche, but he's been knocked down before and gets up. And I thought when he got up from that hit at center ice, I'm watching the game going, you know, I'm shocked he got up. In my mind, that we've talked about it a lot, I've said some things about his game just because, you know, I'm small. I don't like being judged for that. That being said, when there's 6'5" guys coming at you, we saw Connor Bedard this year break his jaw on a basic hit.
Right.
You get nervous for kids like that, especially if they do make it, one hit could end them.
Okay.
But I liked his game. I thought he did a lot of the little things that help you win. And I just think, again, I don't know if he's going to be on the playoff roster. Now he should be. Doesn't mean he has to play. I think that got misconstrued on Twitter where I said today that he should be on the roster. They said, oh yeah, put him in the second. I'm like, no. Not to play unless they need him
to. Taxi squad.
Taxi squad, black ace it. Let him experience it. I think we'll see a defenseman get called up.
Yeah.
Or another forward like Gaudier probably deserves a call up here to be on it. They're always called
probably goalie. Be a nice handful of guys.
Yeah, for sure. I just think Ishikov getting his chance. I know I pronounced his name wrong there. It's going to happen. Rusty getting his chance after doing pretty much everything he could at the AHL level. Really cool. Really cool to see him get his first point. And Kyle Palmieri said after the game, we know how much skill he has. We saw him at training camp. We've seen it all over Instagram. Like, we've seen these highlight reel goals. The question is, can he translate that to NHL hockey? And he got a good first taste of it and he really enjoyed himself. So shout out to Lou for allowing that to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
To bring it back to the hero.
Right. Do I get to talk about mine now?
No. Question? Yeah, go for it.
All right. So I'm going a little more traditional, as I tend to do, with a player on the ice. And that is going to be goaltender Semyon Varlamov. He's the guy that Lou Lamoriello trusted to play in the New Jersey game to get that final win, to get them into the playoffs. And he has a good game. He gets the win for them. And he's riding strong here into the playoffs. So he's a guy who's probably more like a hero of the month. Just talking about how...
Him and Palmieri.
Yes, absolutely. Those two guys for sure. Just how he was able to step in. We've talked about Sorokin's struggles. And he comes in, you know, seasoned veteran, calming presence, as you talked about, very square to the puck, easily letting pucks bounce off of him, steering him aside, where it looks like Sorokin's been a little wilder in his crease a little bit here recently. So just want to give a little shout-out to Semyon Varlamov for really stepping up for this team to help get them over that finish line. Ends with a 14-8-4 record on the season, .918 save percentage, third in the NHL. So a little hat tip to him, hero of the week, Semyon Varlamov.
Before we get to Isles fix, I want to talk about Varlamov's rebounds real quick because one thing you notice that there are rebounds that drop right in front of him. That being said, because he's able to absorb everything because of his positioning, he tracks where the rebound goes immediately and can cover it quickly. And it doesn't ever get away. There's no pucks recently that I can remember where it's hit him and gone in front where he can't get to it or it's in the slot. Like, it hits him, drops, covers, they protect him. It's just, he's been so good positionally.
Right.
And it's, for a guy that didn't play a lot, going in there, this is why you bring guys like this back.
Yeah, and some of his starts earlier in the year were not so hot.
No.
They were not good.
First game back from injury was that Canadiens game, and he got let out to dry there, left out to dry.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
But yeah, not sharp. But you saw him, the team needed him to step up. Sorokin was struggling. He did exactly what you need a guy that you bring back to do, is go in, not just help you win games,
right,
steal your games, because without him, and they run Sorokin to the ground, they probably don't make the playoffs.
No, I would say definitively, if he wasn't there to come in, they would not have made the playoffs.
Yeah, but let's talk about Isles Fix.
Yeah.
Islanders country, get your daily fix of Isles news, highlights, and analysis by subscribing to Isles Fix, the only Monday through Friday Islanders newsletter sent directly to your inbox. Sign up for free or become a paid subscriber for added benefits at islesfix.substack.com. And is it time for questions?
It sure is.
Now it's time for Questions Brewing. I always love doing that.
It's time for Questions Brewing. So go ahead, ask us a question.
Go ahead. That's right. It's time for Questions Brewing, and this is the part of the show where I usually ask Edzo how he's doing and sometimes Jay, but Ed is nowhere to be found, so Jay is filling in. Jay, buddy, how we doing, pal?
Hello, how are you?
What he speaks.
He does speak. He's here.
Yeah, you get to hear me this week.
Jay, most importantly, though, before we get into questions, everyone, just what's your breakdown of this Islanders Hurricanes series coming in here?
I'm glad it's going this far. I get to see more of you guys this year.
Nice. Isn't that sweet?
This will be our last show ever.
So
there you go.
So how's things going in the chat tonight on a little impromptu preview show?
Let's see. Nah, people are talking.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. That's positive.
They're talking amongst themselves. Yeah, they're present. They're active.
That's
and,
good.
We have a couple questions. We have a couple first-time chatters.
Love that. Okay.
But I'm just going to start at the beginning, I think, here.
With
a name I recognize.
This, hey, man, it's your platform. You know what I mean? We're at your mercy
this
right now.
This is good. I can't wait for you to mess this one up.
We got T-Boyle.
Okay, here we go.
Hey. Right.
Do you see Roy as a possible coach of the year candidate, or does he need to play for, or does he need to play a full season?
Okay, so first things, Jay, you nailed that. It's not your fault. It's pronounced Wah. Don't ask me why, but it's Patrick Wah. You're good.
Great
work, though. That's not your fault. That's T-Boyle's
fault. Well, a disclaimer for our listeners and viewers, if they didn't know already, and especially for the first-time chatters and first-time watchers here, Jay is not a hockey guy.
But he's trying.
But he's doing his best. He's filling in. But yeah, Patrick Wah, go ahead.
Coach of the year. It did cross my mind a couple of games ago that what he's been able to do, I think if they had been more consistent, he'd be up for it. You know, they get in because other teams also lose. It wasn't that they won an absolute run.
Yeah.
And you can't give the award to a team that goes and wins, goes 8-1 to end their season. A little too late. That being said, I mean, I don't think the Islanders are making the playoffs if Wah's not here. So for them, him coming in could be an MVP type of thing where coach of the year for midseason changes, for sure.
If Eric Hornick was sitting in this chair right here next to us, my first question would be, has a coach that's coming in the middle of the year ever won a Jack Adams Award? Do we even know if that's happened?
I would say probably, I don't know. That's a question for Eric. I could ask him later.
Right,
but
I feel like as good as he's been for the Islanders, and let's not make him out to be a messiah here. Look, I love what Patrick Wah has done.
Got a lot more to prove.
Yeah, look, he got them in. I mean, I think his overall record by the time they got in was only like 7 games over .500. So again, it's not like he turned the league, you know, upside down.
Yeah,
right?
Except by pulling the goalie.
Yes.
That's
but he got this team where it needed to get mid-season. He changed the system. Yeah, mentally, but also just on the prepared side, too. We've seen the numbers, how the shots against have gone down. The shots on goal have gone up. The zone time has changed as well. So he's obviously done a lot of good and a lot of positives. I'm certainly not trying to take anything away from him. He was the right move, the right guy to come in, and he set a goal, and he achieved it, which is great, and I'm looking forward to a full season of Patrick Wah next year. I'm looking forward to a training camp with Patrick Wah. But, Tom, I just don't think that he's a guy who even belongs in the top 10 on that list just because of the small body of work and because there's guys who've been in it all season who are just more deserving of it at this point.
I don't think he's going to win, but does things change now for Tortorella, for Jack Adams? Because,
well, it's funny.
Because I don't think he's going to get it. I think it goes to Rick Tocchet or to, you know, I have to think in my head. But, I mean, Tortorella, if the Flyers make the playoffs, he probably gets it.
Well, here's the thing. There's like an unspoken rule with these awards where you kind of have to make the playoffs to win any of them.
Right.
Whether it's the Jack Adams or, you know, even the Vezina. I mean, that would be strange to win the Vezina if you don't make the playoffs. But to make my point, it just seems like if a guy doesn't help get their team into the playoffs, they're not even considered to win the award. And so, yeah, I don't think Tortorella has a shot. He certainly would have been in the conversation for sure because nobody saw Philadelphia doing what they did this year. But, yeah, I think you're going to look at the guys like the Tocchets of the world.
Like, I think
maybe
Carberry,
even Bonus.
Like, Carberry.
Carberry deserves votes.
I would just give it to him
now. He deserves votes. I think Bonus deserves votes for what he's done in Winnipeg. We'll see who ultimately ends up getting it. And maybe Laviolette will get votes too. He took the Rangers after, you know, the disappointing season with Gallant, and they win the President's Trophy, but Patrick Wah does not belong on that list.
No.
All right, next, DTMR. Who gets called up for playoffs? Not that we will see them play.
Good question. So I do think Julien Gaudier deserves it. Yeah. I think it was a numbers game.
Why wouldn't you have him
they
there?
Gave Wahlstrom a chance. I think Gaudier definitely deserves to be up there. I think you need to call up another defenseman, God forbid. Grant Hutton, to me, is the first one that sticks out. Veteran guy, stable, poised, older veteran, not a guy that's going to come in. Because you can have guys come in, really, if they need to, and have question marks about how they could play.
Right.
That's why Ishikov, for example, like he could be on the roster, on the playoff roster, but you know, do you trust him to go into a situation like that against a really tough team and find, you don't have time for someone to find their game. So I think you'll see Hutton. I think you'll see Gaudier. I don't know if you'll see Maggio up here again. I think maybe for experience, just why not, right? There's no cap to come watch. But if you're talking about players that, hey, in case anyone gets hurt, these guys are going in, Gaudier and Hutton for me are those two that could go in there and probably hold their own.
I don't disagree. Jay, what do you got next?
All right, I'm about to Sergeant Slaughter these names.
Yes, let's go.
Let's go. From Anti-Threat, is it Bortuzzo or Aho?
Aho.
Aho, that is if Dobson is healthy.
I think I'm going with Aho if Dobson's healthy, and I think he's your sixth over Bortuzzo. I think at least you start game one with a little more speed.
I was thinking the exact same thing, just because Riley Bortuzzo pairings played well, but I really the number first off, eye test and the metrics with Riley and Aho were really good. That being said, one game and Aho is not good, and you have Bortuzzo. Also, too, the one thing I'll say about having Bortuzzo in is that he blocks shots. Like, that's his, well, it is his job. So the penalty, that might be the one thing that gets Bortuzzo in over Aho, because the power play, if Dobson's healthy, he'll get the power play. Riley could power play quarterback the second year. You don't need Aho there. And I think Bortuzzo might be more definitely better fit for the PK, which is such a good, the power play is so good for
Colin. I actually like what Bortuzzo has done this year when he's actually been healthy and played in games. I like what he's done recently since he's been back. And, you know, maybe if the Islanders are playing against another team, I would have chosen him over Aho. But I feel like I want to see if Aho can help match the firepower, you know, as far as just adding a little more speed, adding a little more offense, and see if they can counterbalance that. But I certainly wouldn't be shy about making that switch to Bortuzzo if it doesn't work out.
And we've talked about Lou. You know, you have options, which is never an issue. I'm not saying Aho is this elite guy, but, you know, Mayfield gets hurt, Dobson doesn't play, and you don't go and get Riley or Bortuzzo. It's Aho, Bolduc, or Salah, or Hutton, or you're grasping at that point. So
let's worry about that if and when the time comes. That's a scary proposition.
Yeah.
All right. Next, from Nizzy Niski.
Okay. What's up?
What's up, Nizzy Niski? Do you think Dobson's timeout with the injury can actually help fix the issues on the power play if he sees some things maybe the players on the ice have been missing?
Great point there. I was thinking the opposite, not even about Dobson. I think the power play was struggling with Dobson there.
Right.
And I think they were forcing things through Dobson. So I thought in my head that if Dobson wasn't there, they'd have to figure out how to be successful on the power play without him.
Right.
So maybe not going across the zone, taking the shots, going to the back of the net, feeding the guy at the slot, and not using Dobson as the passer or the one time, and learn how to expose other areas of the other team's PK. That when Dobson comes back in, it's like you're adding a weapon. That being said, the power play never really got hot. Yes, Palmieri gets set up for a beautiful goal. But that's a great point. I mean, Dobson watched from above. I do think there's coaches up there that if Dobson goes up there and sees something, that's probably negative on the coaching staff that Dobson saw it and they didn't see it the whole time watching the entire year.
That's a decent point.
I think it was more about him not being there, how to work and be successful without him. That when they get him back, they're feeling really good about their options.
Yeah, and they're always watching tape anyway, but maybe the bird's eye view gives them another perspective. But I think that's a good point to raise.
Like, I think it helped Bolduc sitting and watching. He comes in and the vision was good.
Sure.
All right, from MJ Beckman. How many Black aces can they carry during the playoffs?
So the rosters expand.
I think it's unlimited, right?
Rosters expand, and I think the one issue is like practice time.
Yes.
You don't want to overcrowd the practice. Not that your black aces have to practice either.
True.
But I think that's good for them to, you know, just be on the ice with them, but you don't want to have
the starters
taking three shifts instead of eight.
Right.
So there's no max. You could do as many, or whatever, you could do as many as you want. Mm. I don't think it'll be a lot. I think it'll be a couple.
Mm. Same.
All right, we got a couple more. Isle 72. Let's see. Has Wally played his last game with the Isles?
I think so. So I spoke to him in Florida last time they were there, and he had an honest conversation. I said, "Do you want to be part of this group next year?" I didn't want to frame it as, you know, do you want to leave? Do you want to be? And he goes,
"Right.
You know, like, we'll see." I didn't get a straight answer of like, yeah, like the cliche, yeah, of course. Like you said, we'll see.
Right.
I just think the Islanders owe it to him to let him go. Let him go and sign. Like, for me, a perfect spot for him is the San Jose Sharks or the Anaheim Ducks. Go back to Brent Thompson, Ross Johnson, guys that he knows, or San Jose, where he could play top six role where they don't have to worry so much about defense and let him flourish. I don't think he's a failed and can never play in the NHL. Like, people were saying he might go back to, you know, go to Europe and play. Mm-hmm. I think on a bad team where he gets the chance, he never was going to get the chance, or he got it for a little bit, but to play in a top six role where, hey, don't worry about defense right now. Just focus on getting confidence, your shot.
Right.
When I spoke to him in Florida, he said to me, he goes, my knee finally feels like I have that pop where I could feel like really good. This is, again, we're talking about with less than a month ago in the season. He's finally feeling it. Anders Lee, took him about 2 years to finally find it. So I do think it's his last game, not because the Islanders might want to bring him back, but if they bring him back next year, unless they're trusting to play with Nelson and Palmieri, which he didn't get a chance to do at all, let him go and have a chance to play a top six role somewhere else. I think they owe him that.
I think the writing has been well on the wall. I think he's done. Patrick Roy even gave him a chance.
Yep.
It didn't last long. He hasn't seen the ice until a game that meant nothing and because they were sitting guys. So I think, you know, the only way he comes back is if he signs a, you know, his qualifying offer, and there's no deals from here, no deals from there. But I have a feeling they're just going to mutually part ways anyway. He's probably not worth anything in a trade at this point. So they probably just let him go. And like you said, maybe do him the favor of trying to find a job somewhere else, and just somewhere where, you know, it was tough for him because I guess he's such an offensive minded player where, he was really keyed in on by like Barry Trotz to change his game and start to learn how to play more of a defensive two-way style. And it's just something he's never been able to master. And although if you're going to be a good player in this league, that's something you're going to have to overcome and figure out. But obviously he hasn't been able to do it here. So I say, yeah, this is probably it.
I don't blame coaching at all. I mean, to an extent, but you know, it's like an offensive coordinator in football where you have different schemes every year. It trots where it's all about 200 foot. Then it's lane opening it up. Then it's waggling a little more back to the
right.
It's got good players find ways to grasp things, and he struggled, and he's dealing with the injuries.
And if his strengths were shining the way everybody had hoped that they would, he still would have gotten time on the ice because he would have been helping them in the offensive department. But it just didn't work out
in the power play.
Yeah.
We got one more here. We got Lenny tuning in from YouTube.
What's up, Lenny?
He wants to know, name a non-Islanders playoff series to watch or keep an eye on.
What do you got, Stefan?
Rangers Capitals, just because the Lindgren brothers are going up against each other. Ryan Lindgren and Charlie Lindgren. Okay. And they've played a back-to-back this year, a back-to-back weekend series where Charlie Lindgren was great, and then Ryan Lindgren had a great game as well. And I think it's brother. I mean, you think about it, as we're all young kids, and if you have siblings where you're playing in the street hockey or whatever, dreaming of playing against each other.
Sure. You know,
and then they get to do that. Okay. I think is awesome.
Okay. I'm going to go in a different direction. I definitely would keep my eye on Bruins Leafs. Yep. I love that matchup, and you know, we'll see what goes on there. I saw a snippet of Steve Dangle going bananas over getting
when
that draw.
Not?
That's true. That's pretty much his normal, right? But I think that's one to keep an eye on. I also, the Battle of Florida, I think, is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I think Tampa, Florida is going to be a great series. I think the seeding for Tampa means nothing. I think that's a team that can still come out of the East. I know they're not as strong as they used to be, but you just can't look past Stamkos, Kucherov, Point, Hedman. I mean, all of those guys. It's such a good team. And I still like Florida a lot, but I think that's going to be a great series. And I'm trying to think of what's going on out west.
So I know not everything is finalized. There are
well,
games
it's just
being played
Vegas
tonight.
And LA can switch places. That's the only; those are the only two teams that can swap places. Everything else, everybody else, is pretty much where they're going to be.
Yeah.
So you know, I mean, look, I think the power is in the West this year. I think the Cup winner is coming out of the West as well, and we can do predictions if we want. But, yeah, at least in the Eastern Conference, I think those two series, Bruins, Leafs, and Tampa and Florida.
My favorite one is Edmonton Oilers versus goaltending. That's always been the best one there.
Versus their own goaltending.
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant there. I have a couple of questions here.
So
we got Russ. Who plays, Fasching or Holmstrom? Now, you mentioned before you thought it was going to be Fasching. I also agree. I think the way he plays is so physically grueling, which is why I got off the other day. I just think they need him physically ready for the playoffs because, unlike Holmstrom, who could use his stick length to get around guys, and he's more a little, you know, Fasching is like a fourth liner. But he could play six,
he's
middle six.
He's
guys.
A grinder. Yeah.
And I think it wears on you a lot. So they need him ready, which is why I don't think he played. Mm. That being said, Holmstrom's goal, Holmstrom's pass. Holmstrom looked really, that pass to Nelson, we haven't seen all year. A backhand sauce pass right on the money. Again, the Penguins were.
This is a game
that was a preseason game, but you liked what you saw there. But I do think it's going to be Fasching.
Yeah, I agree. I think Fasching is going to start for sure.
Let's see.
What else you got,
anything
buddy?
Else? That's it. That's all we got here. That was one. The other questions were about the injuries and things we covered in lineups for next year, which we don't need to get into right this
week. We got a whole summer to worry about that. So I think that must do it for Questions Brewing. So with that out of the way, we can wrap this thing up. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning in to twitch.tv/hockeynightny and all your favorite streaming and podcast providers. I want to send a big thanks to Corey Lavalette of the North State Journal for talking Carolina Hurricanes with us. And of course, the Round 1 playoff series against the New York Islanders. Now I'd like to thank all of our wonderful sponsors, starting with Blue Line Deli and Bagels. Check them out at 719 West Jericho Turnpike in Huntington and 217 Carlton Avenue in East Islip. Check out the menu at bluelinedeli.com. Also, a big thanks to Main Street Board Game Cafe, located 307 Main Street in Huntington Village. Find out how to unplug your game at mainstboardgamecafe.com. And also a big thanks to Razor and Kniff, attorneys at law. Nobody likes going to court, but if you have to, call 516-742-7600 for a free consultation. Of course, I want to thank all of y'all for tuning in with us here on a Thursday night live here at Florida Media, talking Islanders, talking Hurricanes. Always appreciate you guys hanging out in the chat, getting involved, and giving Jay a break there. with the chat and the questions. And Stefan, big series coming up. When are you flying down to Carolina, buddy?
Tomorrow night.
There you go.
Friday night. And yeah, weather's supposed to be nice. So
All right.
Hopefully the hot.
Hence the shorts.
Hence the shorts and these white pale legs that I just realized have been on.
Well, that's why I got the laptop.
Yeah. Well, this is the point. See, this was done for the before shot.
Right.
And when I come back.
You
know, I needed something to base it off of.
Sure. Okay.
And also
that makes sense.
The wash wasn't done.
So where can we find you on social media and all that?
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Stefan_Rosner, STEFEN_RONER, the Hockey News Islanders Rangers, and NHL.com.
NHL.com. You can find myself on Twitter at Shawnee Hockey. You can find the show at Hockey Night NY on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, everywhere, anywhere. And if we're missing somewhere, let us know so we can be there too.
You can find me in Carolina.
Outside, it's a quiet room in here. No Ed, no Jake. Yeah,
no skeleton crew here. Going on.
Jay is loving it right now. So, folks, look, if you like what we're doing here at Hockey Night New York, remember to rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, acquaintances, all that good stuff. And given the uncertainty of the scheduling and where this guy might be, we're going to figure out when the next show is, but we're certainly going to have shows throughout the playoffs here as long as the Islanders keep pushing through. So keep to our social media accounts to find out when that's going to be. The music's over. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.